up, Lawrence Gunther of Bluefish Radio stops by to talk about the state of the West Coast wild salmon population. Next, live from Studio 5 on AMI Audio. It's Mike Ross, Judy Gupta with you, live from Studio 5 on AMI Audio. And it's time to check in with Lawrence Gunther, our regular contributor on all things environmental and host of the Bluefish Radio Show, heard every Wednesday here on AMI Audio at 7 p.m. Last time we spoke to Lawrence, he helped us understand what was taking the lives of right whales along Canada's east coast and what's being done to resolve that issue. This week, we're heading to the west coast. And as Lawrence returns, we want to find out more about the worrying state of wild salmon populations. Lawrence, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
Good. I'm doing really well. Thank you. How about you guys?
Doing very well. Thank
you. We're doing great. Right up to the point that we heard about the worrying state of wild salmon in the on Canada's west coast. So what exactly is going on there?
Well, you know, we're seeing some population returns that aren't very good. And I spoke with a bunch of experts, did some research on this. And the salmon coming back into the rivers, and that's how they tell how healthy the salmon populations are, the wild salmon, right? The ones that live in the first, you know, grow up in the rivers and then head into the oceans for a couple of years and gain some weight and then come back to the rivers and spawn and then die and feed the bears and the trees and the eagles. So those numbers are just not good. And why is it not good? Well, remember back 2 years ago, 2015, we had the big super blob out on the Pacific Ocean, this big blob of algae with no oxygen, and it was super warm water. We had El Nino with, you know, the super warm water and air temperatures. We had a five-year drought in California. We had drought in, you know, BC to a certain degree. The rivers all along the West Coast were really low and warm. So the salmon that came down, the two-year-old salmon that came down those rivers and entered the ocean for the first time in their lives in 2015 came into a very inhospitable environment. They came into an environment that was warm. Their food source had changed. You know, instead of eating super rich algae that grows in very cold water, they're eating a different kind of algae that grows in warm water, not nearly as fatty, not nearly as nutritious. There was predatory fish that swam up from the South Pacific that moved up with all this warm water. And I'll tell you from experience, the further you go south, the bigger the teeth those fish have. It just seems like they're more aggressive, they're faster, and they're predators. So they're up here, you know, eating the salmon as they're coming down the rivers. Just a whole host of inhospitable conditions that resulted from these weather conditions, and you might even say climate change, that the salmon experienced. Now, those salmon went in there in 2015. They swam around for 2 years. They went up north. They come back south. They went up north, come back south. Now they're entering the rivers, and we're seeing the results of what all that led to.
Now, when you talk about 2015, extreme heat was an issue in BC and in the Pacific Ocean. Yeah. Is this all sort of related to that, or are there other issues that have impacted the numbers of salmon?
There's sort of three main things going on. There's climate change, environmental change, you know, at a really rapid level. There is habitat loss. So when we're talking about dams on rivers or rivers that have been hardened with concrete shorelines and trenched out for better flood control, or rivers that have just been paved over, or creeks that have just been filled in for housing developments, or, you know, these rivers, these fish, they go up into these rivers like the Fraser River, right? There's no salmon that actually spawn in the Fraser River, but 28 different species of salmon leave the ocean, go into the Fraser River, and then go into different tributaries that go into the Fraser River. 28 different species of salmon go up those tributaries. And if they go up those tributaries, and all of a sudden, instead of finding a nice, cool, gravelly bed at the end of their, you know, 1,000-kilometer swim up these streams, you know, it's gravelly beds and shallow water, cool water running over it, you know, shaded by trees. All those trees have been cut down from forestry, the siltation from the sliding mud from the ground being busted up by large equipment. You know, that fills in the gravel beds. The water's warm. There's, you know, dams creating sluggishness in the water and more siltation and warming of water. All that habitat loss is the other big issue. And I guess the third thing is just, you know, fishing, right? I mean, if the population is under stress, and we know it is, and then we're trying to manage our fishery at the same time, you know, it's been important. We learned a long time ago that we have to manage our fishery with a population like this. We need to know that a certain amount of fish of each species, for each tributary of returning salmon has to make it through all the nets and bears and eagles and hooks and lines and all dams and get to spawning beds to spawn if that population is going to keep its sustainable size, which means we have to measure that. We have to count those things. And it's not just, you know, go out there and catch as many as you want. But fishing is probably the least biggest impact right now, but it is an impact. But for sure, habitat loss and climate change are the two big things.
I guess I'm trying to figure out, with the backslide in the population of the salmon, what is the major contributing factor? Is it natural fluctuations, or is a larger portion of it maybe human activity?
You know, that's the million-dollar question, right? And we still have deniers who believe that there's no climate change, there's just natural fluctuations in weather. And yes, there are natural fluctuations of weather. You know, we have ice ages and things like that, and that happens, and, you know, for various reasons, meteor impacts, you know, who knows? I mean, we're learning all these things that affect weather. And there are, you know, just natural cycles of El Nino and things like that. But we also know that these changes are happening at a far faster degree. And at the same time, like say 100 years ago, when we first started catching salmon along the West Coast, we just set up gill nets right across the river. And every fish that tried to go up the river was caught, harvested, you know, processed, put into cans, because we learned about canning about 100 years ago, and everything went into cans, and boom, you know, thousands of millionaires made overnight canning salmon. It was a huge industry that died after about 6-7 years because, you know, the fish can't go up and spawn. 5 years later, there's no fish left. So all those old canneries collapsed and they were shuttered and shut down. You can still see the skeletons of some of these buildings. But we learned from that we have to manage the population. So we've been managing for the last 100 years the population. But now it's more important than ever because we took out a lot of different species, a lot of different diversity. So if you have, say, one creek and 3 times a year you have a specific species of salmon, an early spring, a summer, and a late summer migration going in there. So maybe, you know, in the first spring there's no water, there's no rain, there's no snow or whatever. The river's really low. But then the rain comes later. So maybe the first group that comes, they're not effective. They don't get to go up and spawn. But the second group comes and they do get to go up and spawn. But we've wiped out so many of the different species of salmon, so many of the different variations of those species. 100 years ago first, we lost tons of different variations and we're still losing that. And then the way we're fishing them isn't helping either, right? Because, you know, we're fishing them out in the ocean. And when you're fishing them out in the ocean, you have no idea which salmon you're catching. Because what they all do is all the salmon on the West Coast, they all come out into the ocean and they all head north in the spring. And they all go up towards Alaska and go into this huge gyre, this big area of the ocean, the North Pacific, which is super rich in food. But they all mix in there. So you have, it's a real cornucopia of species, right? It's like multi-species. It's Canada. It's multicultural up there. It's all the different types of fish from all across the West Coast of North America are up there. Unfortunately, though, another thing we're doing is up north in Alaska and Russia, they are releasing millions, if not billions, of baby salmon that are being grown in hatcheries. They're releasing them into the ocean up there. And with the idea that these salmon will return to their rivers up in Russia and Siberia and Alaska and repopulate those rivers. Well, those salmon are going into that gyre up in the North Pacific before our southern salmon get a chance to go there. You know, it's like getting to the buffet at 1:45 in the afternoon and you're looking at the buffet and there's nothing left. Well, a lot of our salmon, a lot of our BC salmon, Washington salmon, Oregon coast salmon, by the time they get up there, there's nothing left in the buffet because all of these hatchery fish have already consumed all the nutrients. You know, there's only so much, so many groceries in the cupboard, right? And if you keep inviting friends over, you know, someone's going to go hungry.
Lawrence, what's coming up on the next edition of Bluefish Radio?
I talked to Greg Taylor. He's the senior fisheries advisor for Watershed Watch, which is an excellent weekly newsletter. Gives you all sorts of highlights of stories that are going on across the world, across BC, Canada, and the United States on salmon. And he worked as a vice president in a commercial fishing company. He's an angler. He is a scientist, and he studies this stuff quite closely. He goes to all the conferences. He's probably one of the leading thinkers in the world on West Coast Pacific salmon. And so we sit down for a chat. He fills me in, educates me a little bit. Man, this guy knows. This guy's forgotten in one day what I know about salmon. He's absolutely brilliant and a great communicator. So we get a chance to talk to him about West Coast salmon and how important it is to learn to live with these fish and why we need to be able to manage these fish stocks sustainably. If we're going to feed 9 billion people, by 2050, we need our wild fish stocks in the oceans to be healthy and sustainable. And we need to work and live with them in a one world sort of perspective, that we're all living in the same big, blue marble in space together. It's not about just, they're there for the taking and help yourself fill your boots kind of thing. We have to learn to live alongside these things and harvest responsibly. And so we get into that with Greg in a big way.
Looking forward to it. Thanks for being here today, Lawrence. We'll catch up with you again in 2 weeks.
Have a great day, you too.
You too. Lawrence Gunther is our environmental expert and the host of Bluefish Radio. Make sure you catch the show Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on AMI Audio.